This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. Our email is talk@talklouisiana.org, and we're joined in studio by Mike Graham, legendary broadcaster, meteorologist, spent 25 years at WAFB, and I think 17 years at WBRZ prior to that, and 49 years with the Baton Rouge Police Department. He just retired from the Baton Rouge Police Department, and Mike Graham, in less than a week, will be moving to Arizona.
Sun City.
Sun City, where a lot of retirees go.
A lot do. It's a 55-year-old. You have to be 55, so I qualify very easily for that.
Excuse me.
This is my colleague. George, I don't know what I would ever do without him.
Well, you two worked on the anchor desk from 88 to 04, so that's all. In television, that's an eternity to be get together that long with Donna Britt. And you were dominating the ratings during those years. And you actually liked each other.
Oh, yes, by all means. George, without any question, was the most... Well, the best anchor I have ever worked with, a real, genuine newsman. He knew what he was reading. There are in Baton Rouge today, I see one or two what I call airheads on the television right now. I will not name names, but George is a genuine, qualified newsman. Still is. He follows things that I have no concept of going on, like he was talking about the airport with the problem with their approach system. I didn't have no concept of
well,
that.
Well, counterpoint to that, let me point out, I have my son-in-law by a second marriage coming in this morning, and I talked about how the weather might be a problem. Mike knew the forecast.
There you go. He's still into it. And for 49 years, he was also a Baton Rouge police officer, and I think a lot of times people were stunned to see the weather guy out on the streets giving them a ticket.
Well, I think that's one reason why they wanted me to quit that and not do it anymore. So actually, in 1995 is the last time I was active on the street. And then I had a little break in service. And then in 2007, I went in service full-time, and they started to pay me then as a communications officer. I hate the word dispatcher because there's a whole lot more to it than that.
Yes, indeed. But together you were, and legend has it that George was the one who concocted the cuddle alert. Is that correct?
It is true. I don't have any original thoughts. Even that phrase straight ahead, which I'm credited with, was not my original idea. That was Joe Pyne. Remember the Joe Pyne talk show way back in the, was it, 1970s?
Radio had, guy, right?
No, he was on TV. He was the predecessor of all the nasty talk shows that we see on the TV nowadays. And leading up to every commercial break, he said, "We'd be back straight ahead."
And you did that for many, many years. And George Sells, you worked with a lot of people through the years. And Mike was a local legend. Couldn't go anywhere in Baton Rouge without people knowing who George Sells was, who Donna Britt was, and who Mike Graham was.
Yeah, well, it was a nice feeling. And the funny thing is that the aura still exists. I was talking to the news director at WBRZ, which is Channel 2, which is our main competition. And to this day, I guess Mike and I are kind of disappointed in all this, but to this day, Channel 9 still dominates the ratings. I mean, after Mike left, and after I left, and after Donna left, how is that possible? How is that possible?
Well, I remember when Bob Edwards left Morning Edition for NPR, he thought the ratings would go in the tank. But to his credit, he acknowledged that they went up without him. So, so I don't think any of us...
That teaches humility.
It does.
Well, I got a lesson in humility this morning when I came in to the front door at the office trying to get in here, back here. And the lady comes up and opens the door for me, and she asks me if I'm for Jim Inkster's show, and I say, yes, I am. And she asks me, who may I say is calling?
I think people still know who you are, and they probably say 15 years after you've left, I watch you every night, Mike Graham.
Some
you get
do.
That on occasion, don't
Some
you?
Do, but realize that there are teenagers moving up through the letter teens now that have never seen George and have never seen me, and that's humbling, too.
Well, the world goes on without us, and it will happen to all of us at some point, but moving to Sun City, that had to be some kind of a decision for you.
You know, in 1965, we built our home. And in the subdivision, there was one or two other houses in the subdivision, and the subdivision grew up around us. And we're the only folks who've ever lived in that house. And the most difficult thing that's going to be happening in the next week or so is starting up the car and taking that final drive away from that house that we have loved so much for so many years.
Tell them what your mortgage rate was.
Oh, my mortgage rate today, by today's standards, was high. It was 5.25%. But those were the days of Jimmy Carter, where
when their rates were high.
Well, rates 70, were 17, 18%.
Was Gerald Ford.
So I went to my mortgage company and I told them, look, your rates now are going at 17% and 18%, and my rate's 5.25%. Wouldn't you like me to pay off my loan if you give me a little discount so that you can take my money and loan it out at a much higher rate?
Did you say 65 or 75 that you moved into your house?
65.
1965.
Yes.
So we're talking over 50 years right off Drusilla, correct?
Yes.
A nice neighborhood, and you never moved, never wanted to move.
Never wanted to move because the subdivision is really nice and quiet. Nice people live in it. The subdivision for a while had tended toward older folks, but now younger people with young children are moving in again, and it's so refreshing to see that. And so we leave, what goes around comes around, so we leave the subdivision now as it was when we moved in.
Have you already sold the house?
Yes. That's another thing. The listing went active at about noon on one day, and by 6 p.m. the house was sold.
Probably because Mike Graham lived there.
No. Were they millennials?
I haven't met them yet. We're going to meet them for the first time on Saturday, and I'm looking forward to talking to them, finding out who they are, and showing them all the amenities that they have bought.
There you go. Well, Mike Graham, you have been an institution in this community. Is it the weather that's the attraction? What would
I'm
make
just
you
handsome,
go to...
I guess. That's what it is.
But what about Arizona, though?
What about it?
Yeah, well...
Well, the rainstorms they had in the last few weeks, the ice storms. My sister, who lived for most of her adult life in northern Vermont, moved to Arizona, to Scottsdale, north of Phoenix, and she loves it, and she's now 60 years old, same age as Donna Britt, and she says she doesn't miss Vermont one bit. She loves the weather down there. Now, she has not experienced an Arizona summer yet.
I don't think, really, I'd rather be there in the summertime than here. 105,
oh, the dry heat, yeah.
105 or 110 there is much more palatable than 95 is here because the humidity is so... we're going to miss Baton Rouge a whole lot. But I got to tell you, Phoenix has beautiful highway system and has cars on those roads that actually move. And they have so many... you can look in the distance, not too far distance, too, and see some mountains. And I love mountains.
All right. 877-217-5757. And talk at talklouisiana.org for Mike Graham and George Sells. And Sherry downtown asks if the two of you in your day were consulted by consultants when you were doing the news. Did you have people telling you to do straight ahead and the cuddle alert, or did you just wing it on your own?
No, that they never mentioned that. I think they wanted us to kind of develop a personality, but on and off, George and I have been the subject of many different consultants over the years. They'd come and go. We stayed.
I got to tell a great consultant story, and I've told Jim before, I think not on the air. But one time I was in New York, and I've forgotten why, but I was at I was visiting a friend at CBS. That's what it was. Sadly, a guy who died last week at the age of 75. But I ran across an anchor guy, and I believe it was Dick Ford from St. Louis, big city guy. And he said, George, why in the hell is a consultant, my consultant back in St. Louis, I think it was, am I being forced to watch a demo tape on how to do tandem anchoring of you and some Donna woman from Baton, and he used a profanity word, Baton Frigging Rouge, Louisiana, learning how to do tandem anchoring, the 93rd market in the country. And I, after all, am Dick Ford in St. Louis. What is the deal? Well, we became sort of a gold standard because of these incredible ratings that we had, Mike on one side and Steve Schneider on the other, in terms of ratings, and I guess share, too. We were the number one station in the Midwest and the country as a whole. But it's not fair to compare the East Coast and West Coast because they have late news. It's 11 o'clock. So there was something going on that was right, and the consultants were using us as demonstrations to other people on how to do TV news.
What was right was the fact that these two, Donna and George, got along so well and were so easily... go ahead, you have something?
Yeah, we do have to take a break, but we will return and have another segment with Mike Graham and George Sells after this pause on WRKF. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Mike Graham, known to many in the Baton Rouge area, is the guy who was once on TV giving the weather forecast, retired a few days ago after 49 years with BRPD. He was a television meteorologist for 42 years, the last 25 at WAFB. His partner in crime, George Sells, is with us for another segment. If you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757. Hippolyte on Jefferson. Good morning, Hippolyte. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Dr. Jim, and all the other guys. Hey, you guys, George, and how are you?
Doing well. Good to hear from you, Hippolyte.
Hippolyte, how are you?
I'm fine. You two guys, you three guys, have been really an inspiration for everybody in Baton Rouge. Y'all have all done such a good job of bringing us all together and doing everything, and I thank you for all of your graceful work. Thank you.
Service certainly has been one of the most outstanding in Baton Rouge that I'm aware of.
The former coroner, Hippolyte Landry, the man who examined Elvis Aaron Presley shortly before he died.
Oh, it's so great of you to call. I'd been ready to track you down, Dr. Landry. He is also the man who called me one time when one of the students died of alcohol poisoning at LSU.
Ben Wynn in 1997, I believe.
Way back. And the import of that didn't hit me at first. And it took somebody else to kind of slap me across the face and said, this is huge. And, of course, we know now that was an enormous story. But Dr. Landry called the station and I picked up the phone, and he said, here's the report. Dr. Landry, we can't thank you enough, and for all the wonderful parties at his place.
There you go. And he's still going strong at 92?
Yeah.
92, yeah, Jim. But I'm very lucky, very lucky.
And Yiddish expression, kunahara, means in good health.
Rose in North Baton Rouge. Hello, Rose. You're on the air with...
Hi, I feel like I'm part of old Baton Rouge knowing these two guys. I have a Mike Graham story that turns out to be a victory. What happened, I don't know if you remember this, but there was a snow emergency back in the 70s, I think. It was such a light dusting of snow, and you were working for Channel 2 back then. And they fired you, and I was so mad. I thought, I'm never going to watch that station again, and I rarely do, because I love Channel 9 so much.
Well,
and
bless
of course,
your heart.
I'm glad you bring that up because it's a great story in his career. Tell it, Mike.
It was a turning point. I always get a little uncomfortable telling this, but I'm going to tell it right now. I'm a member of, or was, I had to resign, of Downtown Kiwanis. I resigned because I'm moving to Phoenix. And on January 19th, 1978, it was my job to host the program at the Downtown Kiwanis, meeting at that time at the Capitol House Hotel up on the 10th floor. And I went up there in uniform because the program that day that I had arranged involved all of the major law enforcement jurisdictions in our area. I had the chief of Baton Rouge City Police. I had the representative from the sheriff's office, Fred Sliman, may he rest in peace. And I had the commander of the state police, Bo Garrison. I had a representative from the district attorney's office. And each of those people had selected, at my request, one of their people who had been, they felt, the most service to the youth in our community, and we were there to honor those four people that they had selected. Well, it turns out that just to the northwest of Louisiana, there was a 15-mile-wide band of snow flurries.
Flurries.
It's what it was. There Thursday, was never any accumulation.
January 19th, 1978.
No, January 19th.
I know.
As the program was beginning, I get a phone call, and it was from my boss at
John Spain,
who had said that I was to come back immediately because there was a band of snow headed toward Baton Rouge. Well, the person on duty at that time, who was supposed to have been there, in fact was, it was Terry Burhans. You may remember that name.
He's been in the studio.
And I'd love to see him again. But I told John the situation and that I couldn't come back. And we ended that conversation in a not too pleasant manner. And I went on and completed the program, returned to the station as soon as the program was over. And I remember him coming to my office and him asking me, tell me, if he said, I remember him very, very distinctly. He said, it doesn't bother me that you didn't come back when I told you to come back, but what would you do if the same thing happened again? And I looked at him in the eye, and I said, I'd have to do the same exact thing. And he said, that's not good enough. You're fired.
Okay. Well, he's a driver, as we know, and still very active in this community, and not here to talk about it. He may have a different account. But
he has matured into a very good guy.
But people in television, it's a high-pressure business.
Oh, yeah.
And you're always trying to beat the competition. And if there's a snowstorm in Baton Rouge, that's big news. And he wanted his weather guy to be at the station. I can understand that. But Mike he just gave valid reasons why he wasn't at the station. He got there as quickly as he could.
Did I hear the word flurries mentioned in this thing?
Flurries.
That's what it was, because there were a couple of flakes.
Flurries
we
are
saw.
Big news. They're big news, too, in Baton Rouge. But maybe it was a slow news day, too. One of the lines that John Spain had that I really liked is that there's no slow news day. There was only slow news people. So
good line.
Yeah, that is a
good
line.
Oh, man. He set the standard for this market. He really did. He was an amazing guy. In other words, if Channel 9 wanted to get on top, they had to beat John Spain.
And somehow, some way, he managed to have the best technology in the country at little WBRC, and for years they were dominant in the ratings. But about the time that Mike Graham was canned, he went over to Channel 9. You arrived about a decade later, and suddenly you're at top of the heap. And as Nick Saban once said, there are a lot of books on how to get to the top. There are very few on how to stay at the top, but you stayed there for a very long time.
I think part of the reason, one of the reasons was the technology. George mentioned it. When I was at WBRZ, they had the first station and one of the first to get their own radars. And we were, matter of fact, on one occasion, I had to check with the station, the weather station out at Metro Airport, because I saw something on that radar, as primitive as it was. That led me to believe that we were going to get a rather severe thunderstorm. And they had not yet issued a severe thunderstorm warning or watch at that time, as I remember. And they asked me what I saw, and I told them, and they said, yeah, that sounds like we ought to do something. And within the next few moments, they issued a severe thunderstorm warning. And it was a good thing that they did, because we got a very strong storm that moved through the city.
How was the experience with the police department for almost a half century?
Oh, that's I tell you what, I would not have missed that ride for the world. It started in 1970. I was in the booth, the announce booth at WBRZ, and on the midday program with Walter Hill and Gene Wheeler. I don't know, George, if you have heard of them. A man named Frank Legrone was coming in to try to recruit some people for the Baton Rouge City Police Reserve. They had a reserve program at that time, which has it's no longer in effect. They're talking about reinstating it, but so far right now it is not in effect. And I talked with Frank after his little session on the air with Walter and Gene, And it sounded interesting, so I decided to apply. And in 1978, on December 15th, 1970, I was commissioned a reserve officer in the Baton Rouge City Police. And it was one of the best things that's ever happened.
Joe in Crowley. Joe, you're on the air with Mike and George.
Thank you so much, Jim. You have another A-plus program this morning. I was a Capitol correspondent back in 76, 77, 78 at AFB. When we were number two to Channel 2, and I think Mike was over there at that time. But a fellow who was anchoring for us, I'd like for y'all, if y'all know any, to remember any stories about Jay Young. It's been 50 years since I've known Jay. And of course,
all right, Jay died in 2006, but a very talented man, very talented man.
I remember Jay and I were in the old newsroom, which now has turned into the new newsroom since they've revived it. And he was sitting across from me.
Okay, hold that thought. We'll let Mike tell his Jay Young story, and we'll return and also hear from Greg Palast after this time out for the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with Mike Graham and George Sells. They worked together from 1988 to 2004, so do the math on that. That's 16 years. Television news, Donna Britt was George's co-anchor. For most of that time, Steve Schneider was doing sports, and they were an institution in Baton Rouge and at the top of the heap in the ratings. And Mike Graham, after nearly a half century of the Baton Rouge Police Department, more than 40 years on the air as a television meteorologist, he's moving to Sun City, Arizona, as in next week. Less than a week, he'll be gone. So hope you'll come back on occasion.
But I hope I can, because Baton Rouge is such a major part of our lives now. We've been here since 1959.
That's why I would never move. I've lived in and worked in Philadelphia, New York, Houston, Denver, Detroit, Nashville. But this has got to be home because it's the longest place I've ever been, and I don't have any family here. But this is – everybody knows me. I know everybody else.
I had a few offers to move elsewhere, but they never materialized into anything, and I'm glad I stayed here.
So am I.
It's a very unique city. Can I finish that story?
Certainly, about Jay Young.
I was sitting at the weather desk, which was in a certain corner of the room simply because we had a new computer, that's another story about getting a computer technology.
Gosh, an actual computer.
Yes, in 1982, that was unheard of. But anyway, at that time I was smoking a pipe, and I remember it upset Jay so much. Now, of course, the smoking regulations have changed, and you can't smoke inside that building at all. But he would get so upset with me when I would light up my pipe, because he found it very upsetting, and now I can understand why he did. If he were here today, I would apologize to him.
Who is this?
Jay Young.
Oh, Jay Young.
Yeah, Jay Young did some time with CNN, didn't he?
Yes, he did. At the CNN headline news at that time when they, in fact, did a wheel of news every 30 minutes.
And, that gives me a chance to tell it's not the apocryphal story, but just before CNN went on the air, one of their management people called me when I was in Houston and offered me a job as one of the first anchors at CNN. And it was a 15, 20-minute conversation. One of Cronkite's original guys was calling, repping CNN. And the conversation ended with, Bernie, it'll never work. And that ended it. The funny thing is that now, 30, 40 years later, I read a review of a book written by that guy. And he admits that back at that time, he didn't think it would work either.
Well, it worked, and it's been emulated, and now cable news is a big factor. And fewer people are watching the networks. And it used to be that the lead-in for the 6 o'clock news was huge. And Dan Rather was the anchor for the years you were at WAFB, and he's now 87 years old, and he's still doing stuff.
He won't let go.
He won't let go. Yeah. Is it hard to walk away?
Yes. Well, you see me. I've got a camera running on Mike because he is an institution, and I plan to pull a soundbite out of this.
I am an institution, or I should be in one.
No, that's one of the other things about Mike. He is so level-headed. And his calm on the radio dispatch when he was in the police department was just an eminent example of how it's supposed to be done. When I was in Denver, I was always struck by how calm the radio was, no matter what was going on. And it leads to a great story. One time, a dispatcher in Denver got a call from one of his cars, and the cop said, "I need to run a license check for you. Spelling of the name, it's not Joseph P. Scott. It's Joseph P. Pelosevic. Standard spelling."
Standard spelling. Yeah. Okay. Well, Mike, Greg Palast, esteemed journalist, he may be a bit late today, and if he is, we'll catch up with him in a few days. But he's in Los Angeles, where it snowed yesterday, and I would bet that somewhere there was a news director calling his weather guy back to the station saying, "Get your, you know what, here, it's snowing."
Well, they had a freeze warning in Phoenix just a couple of days ago, and their temperatures right now and for the next week or so are going to be well below normal for this time of the year.
That global warming, you know, you've got to watch that stuff.
You do indeed.
Oops, the ugly head of political.
Well, I I think you would acknowledge that something's going on.
Something's going on. You're right.
Well, this probably in relation to that Pacific anomaly is going on right now. It's changed the upper airflow for a little bit, and it's giving them a problem out west. And those problems are kind of migrating across the midsection and hitting us too from time to time.
Well, we're going to be joined just shortly by the husband of your longtime anchor cohort. Mark Ballard is on deck, but certainly you worked with Donna Britt, and she was a big part of the team.
What she was with George, an equal member of our team. Who George and Donna had such a unique relationship that they became the gold standard, and as George mentioned, were on recordings around the country, being shown to major markets on how to relate to each other and how to run a dual anchor newscast. But they never scripted this thing. They got along so well that it just seemed to happen automatically. And I remember that their tosses to me were just so easy to deal with. I have had such tosses that I didn't know how to respond, but when they tossed to me, it was always pertinent and easy to respond to and just led so easily into the weathercast. I just enjoyed it so much.
There was a follow-up to that story, and I'll make it brief since Mark's coming up on the phone, but at one point, Donna developed some sort of mysterious allergy, and they put patches on her arms, and they gave her all sorts of tests, and they could not figure out what in the name of heaven was causing this allergy. But it was really uncomfortable for her. They worked and worked and worked, and finally they were down to about one or two things, and they thought, "My God, she's allergic to George." We'll break up this golden money-making team for WFB. Turns out it was a stop-up in one of the air conditioning units in the studio.
Really?
The intake was blocked, and it was sending out some kind of dust or some damn thing. I don't know what it was, but
that's a story I hadn't heard.
But oh man, I mean they were looking at terrible problems that had to split us up.
Well, thanks to both of you for your
service to our
community, and good luck in Arizona.
I will miss you, Jim, and I will miss Baton Rouge.
Well, when you come back, say hello. And Mike Graham is certainly a man who has left his mark on the Capital Region. And George Sells, we'll be talking with you, I'm sure, very soon again.
Keep on trucking.